Title: Wide Pad Design with Mono Safe Centers Intermediate. Alright, let's build a drum and bass pad that feels huge in headphones, but doesn't disappear the second your mix hits a club system, a phone speaker, or anything that sums to mono. Because here's the real challenge. Pads and DNB have to fill space and set mood, but they also have to stay out of the way of the drums and bass. And the biggest trap is making something that sounds wide and cinematic in stereo, but turns thin, facey, or straight up vanishes in mono. So today you're building a two-layer pad system inside one Ableton track. One layer is the core, mono safe, stable, readable. The other layer is the sides, high-passed, effect-heavy, and controlled. And we'll set it up with macros so you can automate it like a pro, wider in intros and breakdowns, tighter and darker in the drop. Let's get the session context locked in first. Set your tempo somewhere around 172 to 176 BPM. Pick a moody key like F minor or G minor, and write a simple 8-bar chord progression. Something like F minor 9 to D flat major 7 to E flat 6 to C minor 7 works great, but honestly even a simpler IVI to Roman 7 to VVI is fine. DNB tip: pads usually work best when the chords change slowly. Give each chord 2 bars, even 4 bars. The drums are doing the motion. The pad is doing the atmosphere. Now step 1. Make a good pad sound before you do any stereo tricks. Create a MIDI track and load Waveatable. Initialize it or start from something simple. For oscillator 1, go sine or triangle. That's your stable fundamental. For oscillator 2, add a saw, but keep it quieter just enough to give harmonics and character. Set unison to 2 to 4 voices, but keep the unison amount low, like 10 to 25%. We're not trying to unison our way into width, because unison can be one of the fastest routes to mono problems. Add a low-pass filter, 24 dB slope. Put the cutoff somewhere like 1.5 to 4 kHz, resonance low. Then the amp envelope, attack around 40 to 120 milliseconds so it blooms instead of clicking. Decay 2 to 4 seconds, sustain down a bit like minus 6 to minus 12 dB and release 2 to 5 seconds, so it trails nicely. Now add subtle movement, an LFO to the filter cutoff, very slow, like 0.05 to 0.12 Hz. That's the cinematic drift zone. You want motion that's almost subconscious, not wobbly and distracting. Quick coaching note: the goal here is a pad that already sounds musical in mono, even before we build the width system. If the raw synth already feels facey or unstable, everything downstream gets harder. Now step 2. Build the mono core plus wide sides rack. After Waveatable, drop an audio effect rack. Create 2 chains. Name them core and sides. Start with the core chain. This is the part you're committing to surviving mono. Decide early what must survive mono. Usually it's the root and a mid-harmonic band, think roughly 250 to 900 Hz, something that still tells your ear what the chord quality is. First device on the core chain, utility. Set width to 0%. You're forcing it to mono on purpose. Next, EQ 8. Add a high pass around 80 to 150 Hz. Pads have no business wrestling the sub and bass in DNB. Then listen for mod. If it feels cloudy, try a gentle dip around 250 to 450 Hz, maybe 2 to 4 dB. If it's poking into your snare crack or vocal presence zone, do a tiny dip around 2 to 4 kHz. Keep these moves gentle and intentional. Pads are like background vocals. Small surgical holes work better than huge scoops. Then add saturator, optional but highly recommended. Drive maybe 1 to 4 dB. Turn soft clip on. Then match the output so you're not being tricked by loudness. Saturation here isn't about distortion. It's about stability and readability. It helps the pad stay present in mono without you needing to just turn it up. That's your anchor. The core should sound complete enough that if you muted the sides chain entirely, you'd still have a pad that makes musical sense. Now build the sides chain. This is where we create width safely. First, EQ 8. High pass it aggressively. 250 to 600 Hz. Yes, that high. The low mids are where stereo width turns into phase cancellation and mix fog. Optional move, a little high shelf boost around 6 to 12 kHz, 1 to 3 dB for air. Next, utility. Set width is something like 140 to 180% to start. Turn bass mono on and set it around 250 to 400 Hz. Even if you already high passed, this is extra insurance. Think of it like a second safety net. Then add chorus ensemble. Put it in ensemble mode. Rate around 0.15 to 0.35 Hz, amount 20 to 40%. And keep the delays moderate if it starts sounding metallic or like a resonant flange. Back it off. Remember, in DNB, Stereo movement usually needs to be slow so it doesn't fight busy drums. After that, hybrid reverb. Choose hall or shimmer if you're disciplined and subtle. Set per delay around 15 to 35 milliseconds so the drum transients stay crisp and the reverb doesn't smear everything forward. Decay anywhere from 2.5 to 6 seconds depending on the section. Size around 70 to 110%. And this is crucial. Low cut the reverb around 300 to 800 Hz and high cut somewhere around 7 to 12 kHz. Those filters are what make reverb feel expensive instead of fizzy and messy. One more teacher note. Keep the sides chain quieter than you think. Width is often felt more than heard. If you can clearly hear the sides, it's probably too loud and will cause mono trouble. Now step 3. Set up macros so you can mix and arrange fast. Open the rack's macro mappings. Macro 1 is width. Map the side's utility width from about 120% up to 190%. Also map chorus amount from 10 to 45%. And map hybrid reverb mix from about 8 to 22%. What you've created is a single performance knob. More width. More modulation. More wet edges without touching the core. Macro 2 is center focus. Map the core utility gain from minus 2 dB to plus 2 dB. Map the side's utility gain inversely. Plus 1 dB down to minus 4 dB. So when you focus the center, the sides automatically tuck in. Macro 3 is darkness. Map wavy double filter cutoff from about 1.2 kHz up to 4.5 kHz. And map the hybrid reverb high cut from around 6.5 kHz up to 11 kHz. So when you brighten the pad, the reverb also opens up super musical. Now you're set up for real D&B automation. Wider in intros, tighter in drops, and you can do it in seconds. Step 4. Mono safety checks. Real checks, not guessing. Put a utility at the very end of your pad track, after the rack. Every so often, toggle its width from 100% to 0% and back. Alternatively, temporarily put a utility on your master and toggle mono there. But remember, that affects your entire mix, so do it intentionally. What you want to hear in mono is this. The pad becomes narrower, obviously, but it doesn't lose its body. It shouldn't feel like it drops out, or like the chord quality disappears. A good target is that in mono, it still feels like you've got maybe 70 to 80% of the perceived level and weight. Not the width, the weight. If it collapses in mono, here's your fix order. First, turn up the core chain slightly. Second, raise the size high pass. If it's at 300, try 500. Third, reduce chorus amount. Fourth, reduce reverb mix or shorten decay, and add this guardrail, drop spectrum after the rack and enable the correlation meter. Aim to hover above zero most of the time. Brief dips below zero can be okay for airy modulation, but if it's living negative, your sides are doing too much heavy lifting and you're gambling your mono playback. Also remember, width isn't only stereo spread. A lot of big pads are actually dry center plus wet edges. If it's wide but messy, sometimes the fix is not more width. It's making the core drier and clearer, and making the sides wetter but lighter. Step 5. Arrangement. Because pads don't exist in a vacuum. A simple D&B-friendly approach. In the intro, go wider. Turn up macro 1. Let the pad sell the space. Drums can be filtered or minimal. In the build, automate macro 3 brighter to lift energy. Maybe add a tension note or extension. In the drop, do the opposite of what beginners do. Reduce width and reduce reverb mix. Make the pad darker, more static. Let the stereo excitement come from tops, rides, effects, and the drum ambience. In the breakdown, bring the width and tail back. Let it breathe. Second drop. Keep the core stable and do subtle breathing automation every 8 bars. Tiny changes feel alive without distracting from the groove. Pro move for drops. Freeze the motion. Reduce LFO depth or chorus amount in the drop so the pad stops swaying around. When the breakdown hits and the motion returns, the track feels like it opens up structurally. Optional but very D&B. Subtle sidechain to kick and snare, 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. Ratio 2:1, attack 10 to 30 ms, release 120 to 250 ms. You don't want obvious pumping, you want the drums to feel like they're always in front without you having to turn the pad down too far. Now a few common mistakes to avoid as you do this. Don't put whitening effects before you decide what's mono safe. Build the core first, then decorate with sides. If you widen first, you'll spend an hour fighting phase issues. Don't let 150 to 500 Hz be wide. That range is where D&B gets cloudy fast, and it's where mono cancellations get ugly. Don't oververb. Pads with long tails can destroy drum transients and smear bass movement. Use predelay and use the reverb filters. Don't rely on unison for width. Use unison lightly, and make sure your anchor is mono. And don't wait until mastering to check mono. Check early, check often. Clubs are not forgiving. Now, quick mini practice exercise. Write an 8-bar chord progression at 174 BPM. Build the rack exactly like we did. Core mono with EQ and optional saturation, sides high-passed with chorus and reverb. Then set this target. In stereo, it's wide and lush. In mono, it loses width but keeps most of its body. Automate macro 1 so it's higher in the intro and breakdown, lower in the drop. Automate macro 3 so it's darker in the drop, brighter in the breakdown. Then do the reality check. Export a quick bounce and listen 3 ways. Headphones, to enjoy the stereo. Your phone speaker, which is basically mono-ish. And your master in mono, using a utility width set to 0. If you want to take it further, build 3 versions. A club-safe version where sides are basically just air and texture. An ultra-wide version where you add a second widening stage like a tiny micro-delay, 5 to 15 milliseconds, super-low wet. And a drop-optimized version with shorter decay, less modulation, stronger center, maybe side-only reverb ducking keyed from drums. Wrap up. The whole mindset is simple. Make a mono-safe core that carries the identity of the chord. Make a high-passed, decorative sides layer for width. Control it with macros so your arrangement breathes. And keep checking mono so your wide pad isn't secretly fragile. If you tell me what synth you're using in Live Wavetable, Analog, Operator, or something like Serum and what substyle you're making, like Liquid, Neuro, Jungle, Rollers, I can tailor a pad recipe that matches that exact vibe.